anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. Okay, so verse 15. So here we are getting into another version. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in the tract of the land called Ketumala Varsha, Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadeva, only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, the Prajapati Samvatsara, and all of Samvatsara's sons and daughters. The daughters of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the nights, and his sons are considered the controllers of the days. The Prajapati's offsprings number 36,000, one for each day and each night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughters become very agitated upon seeing the extremely effulgent disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages. Okay, there's a small purport to this verse. Let's read that also. This Kamadeva, who appears as Krishna's son, named Pradyumna, is Vishnu Tattva. How is this so, is explained by Madhvacharya, who quotes from the Brahmanda Purana. Kamadeva Stitam Vishnum Upasate. Although this Kamadeva is Vishnu Tattva, his body is not spiritual but material. Lord Vishnu as Pradyumna or Kamadeva accepts a material body, but still he acts spiritually. It does not make any difference whether he accepts a spiritual or material body. He can act spiritually in any condition of existence. Mayavadi philosophers regard even Lord Krishna's body as material, but their opinions cannot impede the spiritual activity of the Lord. Okay, this is verse 16. Okay. In Ketumala Varsha, Lord Kamadeva, Pradyumna, moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful. And when he increases the beauty of his face by slightly rising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. Then 17. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of Prajapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the night, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadeva. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras. We are not going to see the mantra. That will come tomorrow. Okay, so there is some purport to this verse. The word Mayamayam used in this verse should not be understood according to the interpretation of the Mayavadis, because in the verse, the Sanskrit, it is said that Bhagavato Mayamayam Rupam Paramasamadhi Yogena Ramadevi Samvatsarasya Ratrishu Prajapatir Duhitribir Upeta Hahasu Chatat Bhatribir Upasate Idam Chodarhati. So this is the verse. In that, Tat Bhagavato Mayamayam Rupam, it says. So Prabhupada is clarifying, the word Mayamayam used in this verse should not be understood according to the interpretation of the Mayavadis. Maya means affection as well as illusion. When a mother deals with her child affectionately, she is called Maya Maya. In whatever form the Supreme Lord Vishnu appears, he is always affectionate towards his devotees. Thus the word Maya Mayam is used here to mean very affectionate towards the devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in this regard that Maya Mayam can also mean Kripa Prachuram, deeply merciful. Similarly, Srila Viraragava says, Maya Prachuratmiya Sankalpena Parigrahitam Iti Artaha Jnana Parayotra Maya Shabdaha. When one is very affectionate due to an intimate relationship, one is described as Maya Maya. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains Maya Mayam by dividing the words, dividing it into the words Maya and Amayam. He indicates that these words indicate that because the living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotees from the clutches of Maya and cure him of the disease caused by illusory energy. Okay, so what we are going to do is that we will chant the translation of 14 and 17 now responsibly. So you can repeat after me. Therefore, O demons, give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Narsimhadeva, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is a root cause of material attachment, indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. Okay, now this is the translation of the 17th verse. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of Prajapatis, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadeva. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following prayers. Now I am going to chant my prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusite Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namavum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Gitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaitya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so in these verses, especially the last verse and the verse before, Prabhupada is explaining that how Bhagavatam is to be learnt, because Bhagavatam is a special book. It's not an ordinary book. It's Amalam Puranam. And because it is a special book, it is also to be learnt in a very special way. It is to be learnt in the company of devotees, through the eyes of devotees. This is the way to learn Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam should not be learnt in any other way. So if you try to learn Bhagavatam through human intellect, then what happens is that we get into all this Mayavada confusion. That's why when Maya Mayam is explained in the verse, Prabhupada is quoting different acharyas, how to understand this verse, how to understand this word, how not to misunderstand this word. There are two things. One is understanding and the second is not misunderstanding. Sometimes Prabhupada used to say, try to understand, don't misunderstand. Okay. So this is the way that when we look at Bhagavatam through the eyes of devotees, then we understand. And also, the second injunction is to not to look at Bhagavatam through some other eyes, so that we don't misunderstand. Both are very important. Understanding is also important, and not misunderstanding is also very important. So this is the whole way Bhagavatam has come. As a Prabhupada explains that Bhagavatam is Galitam Phalam. Galitam Phalam means it's a very ripe fruit. And this ripe fruit, it has not fallen down from the tree. It has not fallen down from the tree, it has not shattered on the ground. But it has been very carefully picked by the parampara, and carefully it has been handed over from one hand to another hand. Nigamakalpataror Galitam Phalam. And when that fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam is tasted, and when it comes through the beautiful lotus mouth of Sukadeva Goswami, it becomes Sukabukat Amrita Dhava Samyutam. And that Bhagavatam, when Srila Prabhupada is serving through Bhaktivedanta purports, that becomes Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. And that Rasam, that Bhagavata Rasam, that we should drink. Muhuragho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. That we should drink, not some other version of Srimad Bhagavatam. So from the beginning of Bhagavatam, this is the method how Bhagavatam comes down. And this is the way how Bhagavatam is received. So for us, this Bhagavatam, this book, is not only Sukabukhat Amrita Drava Samyutam, this is also Prabhupada Mukhat Amrita Drava Samyutam. So we have to understand Bhagavatam through Srila Prabhupada. When we explain Bhagavatam, we have to explain Bhagavatam through Srila Prabhupada. This is our pride. This is our method. This is our way of learning, preaching, understanding and applying Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the way of Bhagavatam itself. Because Bhagavatam is taught in the same way. When Krishna taught Bhagavatam to Brahma, Krishna said very clearly, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, Agham evasya mevadre nanyat yat sadasat param paschadaham te yetachta yovashishyeta sushneham. Very clear, unambiguous statement. He said that I am the source of entire material creation, and I have created all this cause and effect. And when all this cause and effect is going to be over, I, Krishna, is going to remain. So don't get confused. Because that was the question of Brahma. Brahma said that you have given me such a big responsibility. And I am going to create so many things. I am going to do fantastic things. So how I will not be confused that I am the creator? So then Krishna said that you understand this, that I am the creator. And when you don't understand this, then that is Maya. Ritertam ya pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyatatmano maya yata bhaso yata atmaha. Ritertam ya pratiyeta. When everything is connected to Krishna, then there is some meaning to it. Otherwise it is ritertam. It is without meaning. And that ritertam without meaning is Maya. When you don't connect things to Krishna, that is Maya. Everything is there in this material world. If you connect it is Krishna. If you don't connect it is Maya. Very clear understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna gives to Brahma. And then when Narada is asking Brahma in the second canto, that it looks as if you are the creator, because you are acting so independently. You are acting like a spider which makes its own web through its saliva. You are creating this fantastic creation, all these 14 material worlds and all these things, everything is created by your will. So it looks as if you are creator. But also I have a doubt, because you are also going through austerities. You are also going through discipline. So it looks as if there is somebody controlling you also. So please, he is telling, my dear father, please explain this to me. And then immediately Brahma says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yan mayaya durajaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. He says, let me pay obeisance to that person, Vasudeva. Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi. Let me think about him. Let me pay obeisance to that person. Because of whose illusory energy, yan mayaya durajaya, because of whose illusory energy, people wrongly think that I am the creator, Brahma is the creator, or the scientist thinks that I am the creator, or somebody thinks there is no creator, or somebody thinks it's everything has come through chance. So many people think so many things. Why? Because of the illusory energy of the Lord. But who is the Lord? Who is the creator? Brahma clearly says that Vasudeva. Who is the supreme power? He is the creator. Immediately. He doesn't go beating around the bush. When Narada is asking, the immediate answer is Krishna is the creator. That's the way to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Vyasadeva wrote the entire Vedic literature and he put everything in the Vedic literature in very secret form. He didn't talk directly about Krishna. So when he was dissatisfied, when Narada came to him, then Narada immediately chastised him. And he said that, what is this Swadharma you have talked about? So much, 90%, 100% of Vedic literature, simply you have talked about Swadharma, Swadharma, Swadharma. And he says, Tektva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer Bhajan Napakko Atapate Tato Yeti Yatra Kvabhavadram Abuttamushyakim Kovartha Artho Bhajatam Swadharmataha. So he says that, what is this Swadharma? Let them give up this Swadharma and take shelter of Sri Krishna, Narayana. And if he does that, then there is no loss to him. And what is the use of doing your Swadharma so perfectly? What great thing he will get? Kovartha apto abhajatam swadharmataha. What is the use of doing all this Swadharma, Swadharma, Karmakanda, what you have talked about? Krishna is to be purified. Krishna is to be glorified. Krishna is to be followed. Very, very clear message. The same message which Krishna gave to Narada with the Brahma, and Brahma gave to Narada, the same message Narada gives to Vyasa. And when Vyasa gave this message to Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist before, he was a Vedantist. But when he heard Bhagavatam from his father, then immediately he understood that Krishna is the ultimate conclusion of all the Vedanta philosophy. He clearly understood this. Because Krishna says, Vedanta krit veda vitteva chaham. Vedeshra sarver hameva vedyo. So that he understood. And that he understood through his own realization. That's why when Suta Goswami was praising his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, he was saying, Yes, Swanubhavam Akilasukhi Saramekam Adhyatma Deepam Atiti Tirshatam Tamondam Samsarika Karunayaga Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunam Pranamami Guru Munina. He said that he understood by his own realization that the conclusion of Vedanta is Srimad Bhagavatam. And that Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to remove the ignorance of the fallen people of material world, he spoke. And he is the spiritual master of all the sages. And that realization came to him when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. Because Vyasadeva, he gave that message that Krishna is the ultimate goal of Vedanta very clearly to his son. And when Suta Goswami spoke that to Saunakadi Rishis, he also didn't change the message. He gave the message very clearly. He said, Ete chamsa kalapum saha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Very, very clear message. He says, there are so many incarnations, there are so many kalas, there are so many amshas, so many things are there. They are coming like the water flows from spring. They are coming continuously. But Krishna, he is a different avatar. He is a different incarnation. Why? He is Bhagavan Swayam. He is Swayam Bhagavan. That's what I have heard from my authorities. He didn't change that. He didn't change that. And in that same line, when the Lord came himself as Mahaprabhu, he also told, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Ara Sabhritya. There is only one controller, that is Krishna. Everybody else is just following him, like dolls who are controlled by strings. Krishna controls all of them. And that same message, that same message is given by Srila Prabhupada. In every page, in every page of every book he wrote, he made this very, very clear. He said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are servants of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are servants of Krishna. This is our constitutional position. And we have to work in this position. We have to attain this position. This is the goal of life. Nothing else is the goal of life. That's why Sukadeva Goswami, when he speaks to Parishit Maharaj, he says, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Shortavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Bhagavan Ranam. So he says that, therefore, going through all these difficulties, Please understand, O king, that simply hearing about Krishna, simply remembering Krishna, simply chanting about Krishna in all places, at all times, this is the goal of human life. And this is exactly the phrase which is used by Krishna when he spoke to the Chaturshloki to Brahma. He also said Sarvatra Sarvada, that all times, in all places, in all circumstances, one who is searching for absolute truth should always come to this point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the whole parampara, the whole message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very clear. It is unambiguous. It is clear. It is given one example that it said Kara Amlakavat, that like holding a walnut in your palm. It's as clear as that, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When it is as clear as that? When we try to understand Bhagavatam through Guru Parampara. When we try to understand Bhagavatam through Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, what he has done, he has digested all this message of all the previous acharyas, and then he has presented it in a proper manner, which is relevant for this world, which is relevant for today's times, which is practical for us, by which we can apply this message of Srimad Bhagavatam personally in our day-to-day life. This is Prabhupada's unparalleled contribution in the history of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the whole line of acharyas, for today, if we have to learn Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to simply depend upon Srila Prabhupada's purport. Even though there are beautiful purports by many great acharyas who have written Bhagavatam, who have written their commentaries on Bhagavatam, still, if we want to learn Bhagavatam today, in today's context, if we have to connect Bhagavatam to today's social, political, economical, any kind of situation, and if we have to understand Bhagavatam in today's life, we have to simply 100% depend on Srila Prabhupada's explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam very, very clearly leads us to only one path, the path of pure devotional service. Because that is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the same message now Prahlad Maharaj is giving. Prahlad Maharaj is telling all of us that please, completely surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please go to Him and pray to Him that let Him remove all the material desires which is there in the core of our heart. That is what we are supposed to go and pray to Narsingadev. We are supposed to stand in front of Narsingadev and we have to tell Him Karmasyan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuista Om Shraum. This is the prayer. And in that purport, Prabhupada has very specifically written that those who want to get rid of material desires, they should go and recite these prayers in front of Narsingadev. Because the prayers of Bhagavatam is so powerful, so potent, it has been uttered and authorized by the entire parampara. So when we want to pray to Narsingadev, we have to use the prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, not some other prayer. For example, It's now more or less very popular to chant Narsingha Kavacha. Narsingha Kavacha is not there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narsingha Kavacha is not meant for devotees. Yes, of course it is uttered by Prahlad Maharaj. Of course it is an authentic prayer. But that prayer has got so many different aims. It says that, you know, Narsingha Kavacham Vakche Praladenoditam Pura Sarva Rakshap Karam Punyam Sarvopatra Nashanam Sarva Sampat Karam Chaiva Swarga Moksha Pradayakam. Who wants Swarga? Who wants Moksha? And when we are going and chanting Narsingha Kavacha in front of the Lord, when we are saying Swarga Moksha Pradayakam and the Lord says Tathastu, then we have gone for an entire cycle of tossing. Go to Swarga, go there, and, you know, get whole confusion. So this is... And the whole Narsingha Kavacha is for protection of the material body. And if you go down the line, few verses down the line, on verse number 21, very clearly Lakshmi says that there is no need to go to the Lord and tell Him that I have material desires, please satisfy. I want protection of my material body, please satisfy. And Prabhupada says in that purport, he makes a full analysis of Akama, Sarva, Kabhava, everything. All the different philosophies Prabhupada has given. Because Prabhupada sometimes told, and Krishna also sometimes tells that, you know, Chaturveda Bhajante Mam, there are four types of people, there are Artha, Jigyarthi, Artha, Ashu, all these people are there, they are going to the Lord, they are telling the Lord, I have this material desire or I am in trouble, please save me. And Lord also says, yes, yes, they are all pious people, Udara Sarva Yevaite, and there is Akama Sarva Kamova. Prabhupada discusses all that philosophy. And then finally, what conclusion Prabhupada gives in that purport? Very interesting conclusion. Prabhupada says that finally Prabhupada's conclusion is that one should simply engage himself in the service of the Lord and not bother the Lord with your material desires. This is the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada in that purport. So if we want to pray to Narasingadev, there's beautiful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. If you want to use the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, there are enough prayers of Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. And Prahlad Maharaj, again in 7th canto, he makes a very wonderful prayer. He says, Yadi Vyasasi me Kaman, Varam Stvam Varadashava, Kaman Hridi Asam Roham Bhavatastu Vrane Varam. That if you want to give me a benediction, I don't want any benediction from you. But if at all you are insisting, no, you have to take some benediction from me, and if you want to give me a benediction, oh, best among the givers of benediction, please give me this benediction, that there will be no material desires in my heart. Please remove them. Asamroham. Asamroham means that it will never grow back. Remove them from the root. Throw them away. This is a prayer which we have to use. Because this is prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam. And our life and soul is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu said, Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. That is our pramanam. That is our ultimate praman. We follow Bhagavatam. We follow Bhagavad Gita. Of course, there are so many different prayers are there. I am not saying that Narasingha Kavacha is not an authentic prayer. Please don't misunderstand me. Again, I am saying, please understand. Please don't misunderstand. I am not saying that it is not an authentic prayer. It is an authentic prayer. But it is meant for somebody else, not meant for us. In the line of Prabhupada. We are Prabhupada Anugas. If we want to pray to Narasingha Dev, there are prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And those prayers are uttered by Prahlad Maharaj. So what stops us from uttering those prayers? Why we should go and shop around for some different prayer? Because Upasana Kanda has got millions of prayers. And there are so many prayers meant for the Lord also. So why we should go and shop around? This is not our tiny intelligence to go and shop around. We don't have to use our tiny intelligence to find some different new method than what is given by Prabhupada. We have to use our tiny intelligence simply to follow what Prabhupada has said. Prabhupada has told in that purport of Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya Sloka that if you want to pray to Narasingadev, use this prayer. So we simply use this prayer. So that is the way of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we understand Srimad Bhagavatam like that, then we also understand the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we become careful about dealing with Bhagavatam. And then we are not influenced by the Mayavada mentality. Because Mayavada mentality means simply to become callous about the personality, about the eternal existence of the personality, about the eternality of the instructions of the Acharya. We become callous. We think that, okay, Prabhupada is finished, when his body is finished, now his instructions are not relevant, they are not anymore practical, we have to find some new instructions, or we have to invent some new ways to implement. No, this is the influence of Mayavada mentality, because we don't think that Prabhupada as a person, he is never finished. That's why Prabhupada quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he wrote, that he who reasons that a Vaishnava dies, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly the words. Okay, he says that one who thinks that a Vaishnava dies, he is not having proper reasoning. Because a Vaishnava lives eternally by his instructions and his followers live along with him. So Prabhupada is practical today and Prabhupada will be practical for the next 10,000 years. That's what Prabhupada has told us. So whatever instruction Prabhupada has given us, we have to think that they are practical instructions. And we should sincerely try to follow and manifest those instructions within our lifetime. We may be able to manifest all the instructions, or we may be able to manifest some of the instructions. But just because we are not able to manifest some of the instructions, we should not think that they are not practical. For example, Prabhupada has given so many instructions how Mayapur should be. Okay? So all those instructions are practical. All those instructions are to be followed. All those instructions are to be manifest. And they will manifest whether we are there or whether we are not there. Whether we try for it or whether we don't try for it. Because they are the intent of the Lord. So it is in our own benefit that we become part of this whole mechanism of manifesting the Acharya's instruction and take some benefit, go back home, back to Godhead. If we don't do that, then we are into deep problem. Why we are into deep problem? Because when we act against the instructions of the Acharya, even the Dham is not happy. Mother Earth is not happy. Mother Earth is again a personality. To think that she is not a personality is Mayavada. To think that we can dump anything on her, we can pollute her, we can take profit out of her, all this is Mayavada philosophy. She is a personality. She has very strong personality. She is Vishnu Patni. There's a very beautiful Vedic prayer. Samudra Vasane Devi Parvatasthana Mandite Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam Padasparsam Samikshvame. So when one is supposed to get up, when one gets up in the morning, he's supposed to chant this prayer that, oh concept of Vishnu, who is having the oceans as your dress and who is ornamented by the beautiful mountains, I am going to touch you by my feet. Please excuse me for this offense. We have to be so conscious, we have to be so sensitive that even standing in front on top of Mother Earth, we should first ask her excuse. We should apologize to her, because in Vedic system it is impolite or it is disrespectful to touch somebody by the feet, and we are touching Mother Earth by our feet and it is disrespectful. So we are supposed to apologize to her. This is the way we understand Mother Earth. And she is a very, very strong personality. She has very strong likes and very strong dislikes. It's not that she is some weakling. And she knows how to handle people. She is very heavy. She is very heavy. She knows how to handle people. And when she says that in Srimad Bhagavatam. In first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when she is speaking to Dharma, she tells what she likes and what she dislikes. And again, when she speaks to Maharaj Prithu, she says what she will do if she doesn't like people doing certain things. She says, I will simply withdraw everything. I will not manifest any of my opulence. No grains, famine, no precious metals, nothing. Barren earth. What we will do with that? Because she has a clear agenda. She wants to be used to please her husband Krishna. The moment the population of the world predominantly starts using her resources simply to satisfy their sense gratification, then she becomes irritated. And when she becomes irritated, like when a fly sits on us, we become irritated. Then what we do? We simply shake our hand and then the fly flies away. And when Mother Earth gets irritated, she also simply shakes little bit. That's called as earthquake. Or when she shakes little bit on the water, it is called tsunami. And all those people who irritate her, en masse, she just wipes them off. Okay, one shot, millions of people wiped off. Why? Because you're irritating her. Just like we just throw away a fly from our hand, she also just throws away. So she's a very heavy personality. She can do these things. We should not think that she will not do these things. So we have to be very careful when dealing with Mother Earth. We have to be very careful when we are dealing with her. She is a very strong personality. She is wife of Vishnu. She is not some Aragara person's wife. She is not wife of some all and sundry person. She is the wife of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to deal with her in a proper, respectful manner. So if you don't deal with these kind of things, then this is called as Mayavada influence. So that's why Prabhupada is always telling that be careful of Mayavadis. Be careful of Mayavada. So in the initial days, when Prabhupada was talking so strongly about Mayavadis, Prabhupada's disciples thought that Prabhupada is talking about some sect of religious people who are against him in India. It took some time for the Prabhupada disciples to understand that he is talking about them. It takes some time for us to understand that Prabhupada is talking about us, about me, when he is talking about Mayavada. Because when I start thinking That you know, the Prabhupada doesn't have meaning. These deities are just stone, they are just standing there. Or if I think that, you know, Prabhupada is finished, or the deities are there, okay, what is there? Deities are there. Okay, if I put a garland, if I don't put a garland, I don't put a garland. The other day, Janivas Prabhu was telling one very nice pastime that how deities were served with very hot milk and they didn't accept it. So they are persons. They have likes, they have dislikes. If we disregard, if we start disregarding the personality aspect in our devotional life, then that is the influence of Mayavada. Then we get confused. That is why we have to simply stick to Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada very clearly and definitely, he has told us how to defeat Mayavada. If we go out of protection which is offered by the purports of Srila Prabhupada, then we have millions of chances to get confused. So we should not get confused. We should remain strong. We should remain fixed. We should remain unambiguous in our devotional service. And simply depend on Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavatam and the holy name and make our life successful. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you. If you have any questions, comments.
Oh, what was that one verse that you read? I think it's the third verse. Something about the night times, they're personified and
yeah.
And then when they see the Sudarshan Chakra, they have miscarriages. That went all over my head. I don't know. Can you explain?
Okay, so this is explained by Prabhupada in the purport actually, that the night times or the personification, the daughters are the personification of night time, and the sons are personification of the daytime. Okay, so generally night time is meant is used by materialistic people for enjoyment, and samvatsara is the personification of 1 year. So that's why there are 36,000 nights and 36,000 days, assuming that a human being lives for 100 years. That's how the calculation comes. So what happens is that in the end of a year or end of the life, in the end of a year or end of lifetime, you can say whatever, that when the Sudarshan Chakra appears, then the Prajapati's daughters who are the personification of night time, they have miscarriage, which means that all that material enjoyment which is meant to be enjoyed during night time, it gets finished at the end of our lifetime. So the personification of material enjoyment at night time is the fetus of those daughters. So when Sudarshan Chakra, when Kala Chakra finishes the lifetime of a devotee, of a materialist, then all that enjoyment which he wanted to have, just like a fetus which is killed by miscarriage without delivering, so all those enjoyment is also killed by the Kala Chakra. It's clear?
Okay, thank you. That's a nice explanation.
Yes, ma'am.
In South India, we have like when Supreme Lord, this sentence will come, then we have like conclusion we will come, especially like times like Vishnu Sahasranama. No, especially South India, like Tamil Nadu, Kerala and Karnataka, that is really problem. When we tell Supreme Lord is Krishna, then they will never accept, because they will see in via Mayavada, I don't know. Because Vishnu has Sahasra.
No, actually, yeah, I understood your question, that you are saying that the conclusion in South India is that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there is no contradiction in that conclusion, because we don't have to think Vishnu and Krishna as two different personalities. They are the same personality. So in one sense, there is no contradiction in the conclusion. They also follow Lakshmi, Sri Sampradaya. So for Lakshmi, Vishnu is the supreme. And for and according to her, their following, Vishnu is supreme. Okay, so there's no contradiction. That's number one. But number two, you quoted Vishnu Sahasranama. But in Vishnu Sahasranama, there is a Dhyana Stotra. Okay? Dhyanam, it starts. Under the Stotram comes. I'm not going to chant the whole Stotra. The final conclusion of Dhyana Stotra is where you have to take Ashraya. This is explained in the Dhyana Stotra. It says, Rukmini Satya Bhama Abhyam Sakitam Krishnam Ashraye. What it says? Rukmini Satya Bhama Abhyam Sakitam Krishnam Ashraye. Not Vishnu Ashraye. It says Krishnam Ashraye. It's clear? So, Ashraya Tattva in the Sahasranama Stotra is also accepted as Krishna. So, there is no contradiction in the stotras, okay? And again, it was explained by Sridhar Mahaprabhu in few classes before. He explained how the whole Sahasranama is simply the name of Rama. Sri Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. That's also explained. So, the whole Sahasranama Tattva is simply Rama. Rama means the supreme enjoyer. Who is Krishna? So, you should come near. I am not able to hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, see, actually in these explanations, again, you have to understand, there is no contradiction. But to reconcile these explanations, you have to come to Bhagavatam. You understand? Because Bhagavatam is the ultimate explanation of the conclusion of Vedic literature. But Vedic literature has got different explanations which are meant to attract different people. Okay, that is one of the first questions. There's a second question of the sages in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Shrotavyadini Vibhagashaha Atasado Atrayat Sadam Samudritya Manishaya Bruhis Bhadraya Bhutranam Yenatma Suprasidati. So the sages also recognize that these apparent contradictions exist. They say Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Shrotavyadini Vibhagashaha. There are different ways and different methods which we have heard, Shrotavyadini, which you have heard from the authentic sources through by different divisions of Vedic literature. But all these ways and means are little confusing. So, Bruhi Bhadraya Bhutanam, please tell us what is the most auspicious thing to all the living entities. Yenatma Suprasiditi, by which the self can be satisfied. Okay? So, for that, the reply which is given by Suta Goswami is that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chait. Sayatma Suprasit. Dharma Savaipum Samparo Dharmo Eto Bhakti Radokshaje Ahituki Apratihata Yatma Suprasidati. So he clearly says that if you want to satisfy the self, then you have to take the Paro Dharma, the highest Dharma, which is Ahituki Apratihata Bhakti, pure devotional service to Vasudeva. Then you can satisfy the self. All other ways exist, but they exist for a different purpose. That purpose is not the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. All those purposes are mostly rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projito Kaito Vatra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Sivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parayir Ishwarha Sadyohrdi Avardhyate. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. That by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the same time the Lord Krishna will come and sit in our heart. Ishvaraha sadyohridi avrudyate atta kritibhi shushushubhi tatsana. That when we are sincere, and when we are serious in our purpose of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and when we are very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the enviousness in our heart against Krishna will go away. We will become Nirmatsara, and immediately the Lord will come and sit in our heart. He will get established in our heart. That is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that purpose is served by practicing pure devotional service. So whole of Bhagavatam simply concentrates on one point, which is removing of material desires and practicing pure devotional service. You go through Bhagavatam in any way, in any part, in any canto, in any page, you touch any line, this is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that remove material desires, follow pure devotional service. That's why, you know, we have to simply take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's okay? Mataji, any question? Yeah. Yes, continue.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I really appreciated your caring for Mother Bhumi and bringing awareness, and even our feet are touching. I've never heard that, and it makes sense that we're touching her with our feet. But I'd like to understand something with so much development in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes it can be quite hard on Mother Bhumi. Like I'll give the example of the new temple. And this morning my son said, oh, they were spraying all the flowers, and he said chemicals. I don't know what they were spraying myself, but that's what he said. And but is Mother Bhumi okay, because it's for Krishna to tolerate all that? Even just yesterday I was walking along here, or 2 days ago, and one gentleman came up to me and he said to me, we should report this to the environmental people, because they were doing some maybe putting a bore in or something, and there was fumes going in all the offices. And I mean, to me, Srila Prabhupada would pardon one, simple living, high thinking, but I sometimes see we're progressing very materially, and maybe that's not working with Bhumi's elements and working with her. Could you explain something about that?
See, there are two aspects of it. You have to understand those both the aspects clearly, okay? One aspect of worship of Bhumi, okay, is that Bhumi is to be worshipped not when she is a deity, she has to be worshipped differently. But as mother, she has a different way of worship. For example, a farmer, he plows the land, okay, that's a worship of Mother Bhumi, because he is actually going to cultivate and take things from her, okay. So that's one part. So when we build a big temple, which is the vision of Srila Prabhupada, so we have to go through a certain engineering methods, or certain methods of today's life, by which we can put up the structure. Okay, so that is something that's a part of the worship of Mother Bhumi, because we are not building, like Prabhupada didn't want this temple for his own sense gratification or for his own name and fame. Prabhupada said, for me the bhajan kutir is sufficient, okay? But he wanted TOVP because he wanted to explain the stupid scientists that, you know, world doesn't work the way they think. World works in a completely different way. This whole universe works in a completely different way. The other day when Sivaram Swami Maharaj, when he was giving class during Gaur Purnima time, when he was talking about TOVP, he was telling that this will be the boots of Srila Prabhupada which will kick in the face of the scientist. So this is something which have a purpose, okay? And for that purpose, Mother Bhumi is happy, because she wants her resources to be utilized simply for the glorification of the Lord. But at the same time, in the name of glorification of the Lord, if we have ulterior motives of enjoyment and try to exploit her, then she knows. Because she is a very, as I said, she is a very heavy woman. You know, she knows these things. It's not, you can't cheat your way around with her. Okay? She knows what you are exactly trying to do. That's the whole purpose of Prithu Maharaj's pastime. When King Vena was trying to capture everything for his own sense enjoyment, she simply refused to give. She simply refused to produce. She just shut down the whole system. And then she said, okay, go to hell now. Okay. Then when Prithu Maharaj came and when he chased her in the form of a cow, and when he threatened to kill her, all that pastime took place, because Prithu Maharaj is Satyavesh avatar of Krishna, and he is a husband of Mother Earth. So all that pastime took place only to bring out the principle of how Mother Earth is to be utilized. how she is to be utilized and how she can make out between right and wrong. She is not dumb. Just because she tolerates, she is dhatri. She tolerates, she holds us. Just because she does all these things, we should not think that she is dumb. In Bhumigata, she clearly says that so many foolish kings were there who thought that I belong to them. But I belong to Krishna. So I just kicked them out. They dance for some time, thinking that she is mine. We have this idea, no, that this house belongs to me. We buy a house and then we say that this belongs to me. I have a registered document from West Bengal state government or whatever it is. And then show, this house belongs to me. After some time you kick the bucket and the house is still there. And some other fellow comes and says, this house belongs to me. This stupidity is going on, no? That we keep on saying that this belongs to me, this earth belongs to me. We fight with each other, we kill each other. And when we have some 4 or 5 katas of land or some bigas of land, we think that we are the king. All this nonsense is going on, no? But she doesn't belong to anybody. All those people who claim that she belongs to me, all of them are kicked out. And she is there. And she is there forever. Till the Lord will wind off the creation, she is there. This is some in-between time, some people jump like monkeys up and down, no, saying that she belongs to me. Some nonsense. So that, to understand that, we have to come to Bhagavata. That's why I said that when it becomes little too much, then she gets a little shake. You know, then everything is alright. Everything becomes flat. Yes.
Sorry, going back to the days and nights.
Yeah.
And the miscarriage. Sorry, I'm still stuck on that.
Yeah.
So you, I've really appreciated your explanation, and it was an allegorical explanation. So I want to know, are these children, the days and the nights, are they allegorical children, or are they actually real children? Are they actually personified people?
No. Actually, in Bhagavatam, there are only a few allegories. Like Puranjana story is allegory. There's allegory of, then there are few more allegories, like after Puranjana story, there's allegory of a deer. Then after that, to the sons of Daksha, Narada gives a few more allegories. But the other things are not allegories. But they have representations in two different planes. They have a representation in the personal plane, and they also have a representation in material plane. So they have different representations. For example, we are talking about Mother Earth. Mother Earth, she is represented by the floor here, but she also is a deity. That's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That she has one representation as one thing, at the same time she is also a person. So all these explanations in Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, if we can see that in Bhagavatam there are qualities, good qualities, which are explained as sons of Manu. When the genealogy of Manus, if you see the daughters of Manu, they are all good qualities. In one sense, they are all good qualities. But they are also personification of those good qualities. So, these sons and daughters, they are also personification. But they are also, in the material world, in our experience, they are also sons and days and nights. And in our experience, those unborn fetuses are also the material enjoyment. So, they work in two planes. So, they are in Bhagavat and whole material world is structured like this. This all happening in different planes. In one plane they have certain function, in another plane they are also personalities. They are all like this. That's why it's very important to understand Bhagavatam from a Bhagavata school, because the whole Mayavada explanation simply tells the whole Bhagavatam is an allegory, including Krishna. They tell Krishna is also an allegory. So that's their explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the moment we get into this allegory kind of idea, that's actually an influence of Mayavada, because that's the way they explain Bhagavatam. That the first explanation of Bhagavatam I read was from some Mayavada school before I came to ISKCON, before I read Srila Prabhupada. So the whole Bhagavatam was explained as an allegory. I was surprised that how the entire Bhagavatam is explained simply as an allegory. Then when I read Prabhupada, then I understood that, you know, why I also understood why Mahaprabhu was telling Mayavada Bhasha Srile Haya Sarvanasha. Because if we listen to Mayavada Bhashya, then simply we will get this, we will start getting this idea that they don't exist. You know, all these personalities don't exist.
Okay. So, with that explanation, my question then comes to, are they actually having miscarriages?
Yeah, they are actually having miscarriages.
Okay, thank you.
Because I wanted to confirm that. I wanted to confirm that part. So I also referred Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and it very clearly says that they have miscarriages.
Right, thank you.
Any other question? Okay, time is up. Thank you very much. Bhagavatam Grantraj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanande!